So what do we have here? Seducers, getting worse, deceiving, and being deceived. You might remember that there is a warning in the Bible about that. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Verse 13. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned, and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So, we are going to be talking about that in just a bit. We welcome you to the room, and hopefully others will join us. I pray that the Lord will bless us as we admonish one another. One of the things that the scripture does say is, as you see the day approaching, we should admonish one another. Lest some people should let the things they have heard slip, or be taken over by the deceitfulness of sin. There's a lot of deceitfulness in these last days. Holy Spirit warned us thoroughly about that in many scriptures. Jesus himself spoke about wolves in sheep's clothing. Scriptures tell us about people that look like wolves inside, but inside they're ravening wolves. They look like sheep on the outside, but on the inside, they're ravening wolves. And we're going to set a foundation for this today. One of the things we're going to be talking about is having our spiritual senses alerted. I know we did a room about this discerning of spirits maybe a week or so ago. Spiritual discernment and discerning of spirits, I think we called it. That's a good one too, that people ought to listen to it. If you missed that one, you might want to check out the replay. That was a good one. Today, we want to give this sound of alarm out. Jesus said, let him that hath an ear hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. And he that hath an ear should hear what the Spirit is still saying to the churches. Jesus also warned and said, blind leaders of the blind, they both fall into the ditch. Well, and I'd like to say that you don't have to fall into a ditch with anyone if you keep your own eyes open. Both of them have to be both blind. The two of them have to both be blind in order for them to both fall into ditch. If at least one of them is not blind, then they can escape the ditch. So it's our responsibility to not be blind. It's our responsibility to heed the warnings. Paul himself, he gave warnings to the early church. He said, look, I know that after my departure, there will be terrible wolves that will come in and try to scatter the flock. That was way back then. How much more today? So let's just consider and take a minute as we pray. Father, we thank you for the entrance of your word brings light. And we pray that this light will shine our hearts and give understanding to the simple and help us to take heed to ourselves. Scripture says, take heed to thyself and to the doctrine. Help us to take heed to ourselves and to be warned. Even as Jesus often said, lo, I have told you before. So Lord, we thank you. We give you all praise and glory in Jesus' name. And I want to ask you, as you saw the title of the room, what came to mind? You know, you don't have to answer, just think about it. You know, the text is taken from 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 13. Evil men and seducers, we are told, shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Why should anyone be deceived? I mean, there's always going to be evil. The Bible says that offenses must needs come. You know, but woe unto that man from whom it comes. Well, you know, offenses must come. They can do their thing, but why should I be deceived? You know, it's my responsibility to make sure I am not deceived. You know, but the Bible still gives serious warnings that at the end of the age, you know, there will be so many similarities that the evil vine will have to the true vine, that if it's not by the grace of God, if it were possible, even the elect might be deceived. But Jesus, in one of his many parables, in Matthew chapter 13, where he talked about the parable of the wheat and the tares, he spoke about something like that. When the good seed was planted at night while men slept, the Bible says an enemy came and planted tares among the wheat. And so in the morning when the servants got up and they said, Lord, did you not plant good seed? How come there be tares among them? Should we go and pluck them up? And Jesus said, the master said, no, let them alone and let them be for now. Let them both grow together until the end. And at the end, the harvesters will come and separate. And Jesus gave interpretation of that very parable. He said the field is the world, the seed is the word of God. The one who sowed the good seed is the Son of Man, which is Christ himself. The enemy that planted the evil seed is the devil. The good seed are the children of God, and the evil seed are the children of the wicked one. So we see that there's a mingling, has always been, of good and evil. Jesus said, let them both grow together. While you're trying to pluck out the evil when they are still very young, they look alike. The grass and the wheat and the wheat, I mean, weeds look alike. So let them just grow. When they are fully grown, you'll see them the way they really are. The wheat will bring forth the ear, you know, the corn and the full corn and all of that. And then the other one will continue to look like grass and wheat, and it'll be very apparent at the time. But they will be gathered together in bundles. The tares will be. The bundling is happening now. And cast into the fire. The wheat will be cast, he said, will be sifted and enter into his barn. So, what does this all mean? Well, what it all means is keep our eyes open. Let's keep our eyes open. One of the reasons why people get deceived is when we do not learn to hear from God ourselves, or recognize or know the voice of God by ourselves. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. and they follow me. A stranger, they will not follow because they know not the voice of strangers. Well, that's the ideal thing. Unfortunately, many people follow many strange voices. And there are people who appear in sheep's clothing, but they are really ravenous wolves on the inside to make merchandise of the people. And it's really sad that people fall for these things. Jesus said, freely you have received, freely give. But there are people today that are trying to sell the grace of God, sell healing, sell prophecy, sell a word, sell everything. They will put a price to it even sometimes. It's almost like an auction. If you want this kind of blessing, then you got to sow this kind of seed, they call it. Or if you want to this and that, then you got to sow this amount of money, they call it. And the whole thing is just confusion, and it's a big mess. But unfortunately, people fall for it anyhow. There are many scammers in the world, and there are also religious scammers. Religious scammers use a religious sound bites to scam the people. It sounds real. It sounds, you know, it's loaded with just religious sound bites. But the ultimate goal is to make merchandise of the people. And when we do not discern these things, we fall into their pernicious ways, fall into those errors. So God is warning us to be careful now. And the way to be careful is we must know the God's voice ourselves. And we must learn to hear from God ourselves. The children of Israel never wanted to hear from God. And so when Moses was away for just 40 days, they heaped to themselves the golden calf, because they would never could hear from God themselves. And people do not know how to hear from God themselves. They're going to open themselves wide to become a prey. And some of these evil men and seducers who are deceiving, waxing worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived, they're getting bolder and bolder by the minute. But everybody must take their stand. Let's make sure we don't fall for any of these gimmicks. It's what I like to call them. Gimmicks. And many of those, even on this app, which this app is a great tool, can be used to reach many people for the Lord, can be used to bring encouragement, can be used to bring admonition. But in the hands of perpetrators of evil and seducers, they can actually use it to deceive many. So we like to warn people to say, look, have your eyes wide open and don't let anyone make merchandise of you. And here is another thing to keep in mind. When someone starts to use the name of the Lord to gather finances while they're trying to sell you a miracle or sell you a prophecy or a word, then that should be a red flag already. You know, one of the very first commandments is, I am the Lord thy God, and thou shalt not take the name of thy Lord, the God, in vain. People don't know what that really means. There's a lot of people are taking the name of the Lord in vain. When they say, the Lord said, when the Lord has not said, that's taking the name of the Lord in vain. And when they dangle these things in front of people, you know, and there's so many tricks up the sleeves. And unfortunately, people who fall for these things, they do not use sound judgment and discretion. They use no prudence at all. You know, they just follow. The scripture once in the book of Proverbs says that, look, a bird, as a bird hasteneth to the snare, doesn't know that it's for his life. So does a fool, you know, hasten to his own destruction. So there's a snare there. The bird rushes to it, doesn't know that it's really a snare. Well, but it is a snare. And there's a snare out there many times that are dangled in front of people. And people can't see that it's a snare, but it is a snare. And some people get too deep and they can't get out. They lose everything they have. And also sometimes, you know, once they submit to these things, then, you know, people, the evil powers, the seducing powers, you know, actually have power over their minds. And people, some of these seducers use all kinds of gimmicks, tactics, control, fear, and everything to, you know, to try to take control over the minds of the people. And when you do that, or anyone that does that, that's tantamount to witchcraft. I mean, witchcraft is the same as trying to have control over people for whatever reason, especially for evil reasons. You know, so it is everybody's responsibilities to watch out and not fall into the ditch along with the blind leaders. But quite naturally, the people like something that looks glamorous. Oh, sometimes it looks like the real thing, but not all that glitters is gold. And sometimes something that looks real is not real at all. Most of the time it's counterfeit, but counterfeit looks so close to the real that some people cannot discern the difference. Well, it's very easy. You walk in the spirit, you won't fall for these things. You can discern, you know, because the spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus. And if people are not pointing people back to the Lord, and if ultimately it is to point to themselves, you know, and try to use some trickery and stuff like that, you know, to get you to quote unquote sow money, like they say it, and all these other things, then you can tell right away that that's not from the Lord. But people can't understand that. You know, just because somebody says something that appears to be in the name of the Lord, even if it comes to pass, the Bible says that, look, there are warnings when they try to tell you to do things that are not according to the word. When they try to tell you to go after other gods or change the word of the Lord somehow, watch the direction they go, gift or no gift. But at this time, my heart goes out to many people who have been tricked. Some people have been tricked into, you know, even losing their funds, you know, and they give up everything through trickery and wizardry, I would say. Because, I mean, I don't understand how somebody cannot, you know, use their senses, you know, unless, you know, they've been enchanted. But people of God should not fall for enchantment. Numbers 23 and 23 says there should be no enchantment against Jacob, neither any divination against Israel. But that's when they are walking in the light. They're not walking in the light. Unfortunately, people may be enchanted. Well, there is still hope to get out quickly. Well, there is still opportunity. The spider's web, once he casts his web out there, it looks really nice and attracting, and then, you know, attracting the insects and things like that. You know, but when the insect jumps into that web, the spider does nothing while the insect is at the outskirts of the web and waits until the insect crawls in a little bit, gets to the point of no return, and that spider snaps that thing. And that's it. You know, no escape after that. So the time is now that people should escape for their lives. You know, people have been drawn into this evil. You better escape for your life. Unfortunately, there's not a lot of people here listening to this at the moment, but I hope some others will listen to the replay. Escape for your life. You know, don't be drawn into any of these schemes. And it is very important that we use wisdom and discretion in our lives. There are many ways that the devil will try to gain advantage. Fear mongering is one of them. Try to gain advantage into the minds of the people. But the Lord will have us to be, you know, to be vigilant. Be vigilant, 1 Peter 5 and 8, and sober. For your adversary, the devil, is going around as a roaring lion looking for whom he may devour. Well, thankfully, he cannot devour everybody. Otherwise, he would just be devouring and not looking. But he's looking for the simple ones that have strayed away from the truth. The Bible even warns us that in the last days, you know, people will not endure sound doctrine. But they are going to, you know, because they have itching ears, they'll heap to themselves all kinds of teachers and tell them. I mean, I've been on this app, and it is, again, a wonderful app. And there's some really good people here. But then you go into some of this, well, of course, I don't go there anymore. But initially, when I came on this app, I was going everywhere just trying to figure out what's going on. And there was no sound doctrine in most places. It was just a bunch of nonsense. You know, and people were going after these things. A lot of it was golden calf. It was just like the golden calf. You know, and people were getting drawn into these things. And they go in so deep that they can't even come out. And unfortunately, you know, some of them were really wounded. So sad. I heard the story of a young woman who was tricked in one of these rooms to give everything she had. You know, and then she began to be in want after she gave that. And then she couldn't even pay her rent. You know, and then she began to go into other rooms asking for prayer. You know, and I was in one of the rooms where the prayer was being made, and I was like, what's that? What are we praying about? What kind of prayer is this? You know, people should better open their eyes wide and don't get yourself sucked into something that is going to leave you wounded like that. People talk about even, you know, different tricks that are used, you know, to get people to succumb to giving away their money. You know, I've heard so-called prophets or preachers that tell people to sow something so that they can get something. And I often wonder, I mean, if that's really how we do it, you know, just sow certain money so that you can get certain blessing. Well, why doesn't the preacher do that themselves? I mean, if you are a preacher and you are in need of $50,000, say, and then you are trying to get people to sow so that they can be blessed because you actually want to get that money. Why don't you sow so that you can be blessed and get that money? That's all gimmicks. That's all nonsense. You know, and people fall for those tricks. But I tell you how, you know, real giving works. Even tithing, people don't understand it at all. You know, there's even churches where, you know, people are forced to give their money and all that nonsense. But I'll tell you, there is what we call the law of first mention. And the law of first mention in the Bible concerning tithing, you'll find it in Genesis chapter 14. When Abraham met Melchizedek, the story of how he met Melchizedek. Melchizedek was the priest of God. If you read Hebrews chapter 7, you'll find out that he was actually God couched. Theophany in human form. Because he says he's having neither beginning of life nor end of days. Having neither father nor mother. Well, and that had to be God. But if we look at the law of first mention there, the first time ever that even the word tithing was used in the Bible, that's why we call it the law of first mention. It was Melchizedek and Abraham that were engaged in that exchange. And Abraham, that's what he was called at the time, when he was returning from the slaughter of, you know, some of those kings that he had gone after to bring back the goods, you know, when they had captured his brother Lot. You know, he says that Melchizedek in chapter 14 of Genesis, verse 18, king of Salem, met this guy. And he was the priest of the Most High, and he blessed him. Melchizedek blessed Abraham. And you can read it in Hebrews, he said, the lesser is blessed of the greater. Melchizedek blessed Abraham and said, blessed be the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. And, you know, and he blessed him. You know, blessed be Abraham also of the God of heaven. You know, so he blessed him, which had delivered, blessed be the Most High God who had delivered thine enemies into thy hands. And after he blessed him, Abraham gave him tithes of all. This is the first mention of the word tithes in the entire Bible. So if we go by the law of first mention, we will see that there was no commandment here. You know, but this happened by revelation. This happened by revelation. Nobody commanded Abraham to give tithes to this Melchizedek figure, but it must have come to him by revelation. With that idea, I say that even tithing is by revelation. Till today, that's the way it's got to be. The correct way to do it. Because the commandment that came many, many 400 years or so after that could not take away the covenant of revelation. This man did it by revelation. But see how it happened. First he was blessed, then he gave. It's not the other way around. You know, people are tell us today, give so that you can be blessed. Well, that's not the way it was here. First, Melchizedek blessed Abraham. And then Abraham gave. You know, this was how he did it. And all the people, you know, many people after that, even Jacob in Genesis 28, he gave tithes. Genesis 28 verses 20 to 22. There was no law. There was no commandment, but he also gave tithes. And then these people, how did they do it? Well, a tithe is a tenth of all their increase, right? So they gave tithes, but there was no commandment, you know, but there was commandment made later on in Leviticus 27. You'll find commandments in verses 30 to about 32. of tithes and so forth. But some of these people gave tithes way before commandment was given. I mean, Abraham didn't, you know, even have a child when he met Melchizedek. And all these people, the Levites and so on, they are way, way, way down descendant line of Abraham. But Abraham gave tithes way before the commandment was even came. You know, this Levitical priesthood, who actually, they put a levy, put a levy on people, you know, give tithes and all of that. You can read in Hebrews chapter 7, you know, some concept that is developed there in verse 11. It will tell you that there's a difference actually between giving of tithes by revelation and paying of tithes by commandment. You know, so, you know, the, we see that this, you know, this, this Melchizedek person who came to, you know, who came to Abraham, to whom Abraham gave tithes of all, you know, let me read earlier from verse 7. Without all contradiction, this is Hebrews 7 and 7. The less is blessed of the better. So this is talking about, in fact, I think I should read further down, further out. Let me start at verse 5. Verily, they that are the sons of Levi, who receive the office of the priesthood, have a commandment to take tithes of the people according to the law. So that's fine. That is of their brethren, though they come out of the loins of Abraham. But he whose descent is not counted from them, you know, that's Melchizedek, he received tithes of Abraham and blessed him that had the promises. And without all contradiction, the less is blessed of the better. And here men die that receive tithes, but he received them over there, of whom it is witness that he lived. Now, as I may so say, Levi also, who received tithes, paid tithes in Abraham. So Levite was paying tithes. Well, you know, Levi was the man, I mean, it was through their lineage that all these things came, and they were paying of tithes. But if you go back to verse 4, you will see that Abraham said, now consider how great this man was, who was Melchizedek, unto whom even the patriarch Abraham gave a tenth of all his spoils. So Abraham gave. He didn't pay anything. He gave. You know, because it was by revelation. And you pay, well, that's, you're paying a, maybe a levy. You know, the Levites, you know, and the levy, you know, all those words go together. You know, maybe you are paying because there is a levy on what you should pay. But when you give, it's by revelation. Now, Abraham gave tithes. He didn't pay anything. He didn't owe anything. So there's nothing to pay. He gave the tithes freely by himself. So did Jacob give tithes of all the increase of the land. They all gave tithes before the law to pay tithes. So, and even the paying of tithes, you know, people misunderstand it even up to today. You know, they just consider that it's only the money. But it wasn't even about money at all. It was all of their increase. And in fact, there's other things to be said about that. I'm not teaching on tithing today, so I don't want to go too deep into that. But there's other things to be said about that. If people are going to do that, or even those who do it, they don't do it well and properly. Because the Bible does say that we have to honor the Lord with the first fruits of all that increase, not the last fruits. A lot of people give tithes on their last fruits. You know, after the government has taken their own. I mean, here in the United States, we pay a lot of taxes. The government takes their own. 401k program takes its own. 503 program takes its own. You know, FSA, you know, HSA, all these things, they take their own. And then they give you your paycheck, which is almost half of what you started with. after they've taken all these other deductions and then you give a tithe of that. That's actually wrong. If you're going to pay tithes at all, which you want to pay, I would say you should be giving tithes rather than paying and being under condemnation. And when you want to give tithes, you should give from the top, not from the bottom, because you need to honor the Lord with the first fruits of all that increase, according to Proverbs chapter 3, verses 9 to 10. But that, anyway, that's by the way. The thing, though, is this. People are coerced into these things, both on apps such as this, on social media and everywhere, and even on the ground. People are coerced, and people live under condemnation. I've even been told, and I've heard stories of people that were visited by their church leadership and asked them to bring out their payslip so they can examine how much they were paid versus how much they gave in tithes. I was like, are you kidding me? There's all kinds of confusion just going on. And people fall for all of this. Bible says that blind leaders of the blind will both fall together. They will fall into the ditch. But I always tell people that, look, you're blind. Your leader may be blind, but you don't have to be blind. If you're not blind, then you're not both going to fall into the ditch. It takes the two of them to be blind in order to both fall into the ditch. So open your eyes wide. Open. Praise God. Now that blessing, there is a blessing for giving. And, when you give, God loves a cheerful giver. When you give out of the increase that God has already given you. But if you know how to do it too, when you give, you can enter into a covenant with God. When he blesses you and you give, and then you turn around and say, Lord, I also give you this, and I trust in you for other things. That's fine too. You can do that. But it's not a commandment. It's by revelation. Now, when the commandment is given that you must sow a certain amount in order for you to get your miracle, then you should already have your antennas up that that is falsehood. You need to get away from that. But people don't understand that. They're falling for these things. I've heard things said even that make it look like it's an auction. You know how they auction off goods, auction off a word, a prophetic word. You auction up a healing, a prophecy, for you to get this kind of thing, you have to sow this amount of money and all that nonsense. People are trying to auction off. And the reason for all of that is because people don't want to hear from God themselves. And I've been hammering on this thing, and as God, long as God gives me the grace, I will continue to hammer on it. People need to hear from God themselves. When you don't want to hear from God yourself, you're going to set yourself up for this kind of thing. When God said to the children of Israel in Exodus 19 and 5, if you will obey my voice indeed, well, for you to obey his voice, you have to hear his voice. Hear my voice and obey it, you will be unto me a kingdom of priests. That was his invitation. And at first they said, yep, we're going to do it. But no, they didn't do it. Later on in Exodus 20, they told Moses, we cannot hear the voice of God. If we hear his voice, we will die. You go hear the voice for us and then come and tell us. And I'm like, my goodness, why in the world would anybody want to not hear God's voice? I would die to hear his voice all the time. Why? And they removed that far off. They didn't want any part of God. Well, okay. When they didn't want any part of God, then Moses became a prophet unto them. God wanted to speak directly to these people. They would not hear. They told Moses, you go here. And so that's the definition of prophet. That's where it came from. Moses became a prophet to them. But that was not God's plan. They were supposed to be a kingdom of priests that had direct relationship with God. But, you know, but fast forward to when Moses would go, you know, Moses went to the mount a couple of times. And when he went away for 40 days and they couldn't find him, you know, the next thing they do is, well, we don't know what has become of this Moses. He's been gone for a long time, so we really don't know. You know, maybe, maybe something happened to him or not. We don't know. So up, Aaron, get you up, make us gods, you know, and so forth like that. Are you kidding me? I mean, these are people who have seen all the miracles of God. They've heard his, they've seen all the things that God did. And now you're going to compare that to, you know, some golden image that you guys are going to craft by yourself. I mean, how ridiculous can these people be? But it may sound ridiculous, but that's because they never wanted to hear from God themselves. And so that's what happens when people do not want to hear from God themselves. Exodus chapter 32 said, when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mount, then they gathered themselves together unto Aaron and said, look, make us gods to go before us. For as for this Moses, we don't know what happened to him, you know. And then they began, the golden calf came out of that. So when God, I did a room like this even some months ago, you can listen to the replay. Say, when God delays, or when the answer from God delays in coming, is the golden calf next? You know, the golden calf will be next when people have not learned how to hear the voice of God. So the man who is their medium, Moses was their medium. Moses was the man that can hear from God. The rest of them couldn't hear anything or didn't want any part of God. So when the medium is away now for 40 days, it seems too long, so they have to look for some other medium. And so they're chasing. And this is the problem with people today. People are always looking for some prophetic word somewhere. They want a prophetic word, they go to this room. They want a prophetic word, they go to that room. They want a prophetic word, they go down over here. They want a prophetic word, they go to this church or this place. And that's so. You know, whereas God said, I will be your God and you'll be my people. God wants you to have a direct relationship. He made you kings and priests directly with him. But no, people are walking in this, I want to hear. And you know, people love to hear sweet things, or like, you know, it's your season of blessing. That's one way that can draw people in. You tell them that, it's their season of blessing. You can draw people in easily like that. It's easy because people love to hear those things. You know, it's your season of blessing and so forth. But I want to tell you, let me declare to you right now, God is not a seasonal God. God is not a God of seasons. We use seasons only at our own in our own dimension, only in our own realm. You know, God put the lights out there, not for himself, you know, but for us to be day and night. God has no day and night. He has no time. He has no seasons. You know, but seasons are for us because we have not entered into the realm where God is at. So that's why we have these seasons. But if you enter into the realm of God, you don't need to go in and out of any season. You know, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, not, you know, standing in the way of sinners, not sitting in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and his light doth he meditate day and night, Psalm 1. And he shall be like a tree that's planted by rivers of living waters, whose leaves fail none. He bringing forth his fruit in his season, and his wheat shall not wither. Nothing will wither. He's always in season. Now, God is not a God of seasons, but he's a God of all seasons. You know, every season, you know, it's the same with God. He's always the same. Yesterday, today, and forever. Nothing changes about him. We're the ones that change. He's not a seasonal God. Today is the time that you'll be blessed. Tomorrow, it's not your time. Well, as long as we keep on believing that, then there will be a prophetic word for you to draw you in that season. Yeah, there are seasons and times they are in his hands. But look, you know, you can have out of season or in season blessing all the time. As a matter of fact, I'll tell you a story in the book of Mark chapter 11. When Jesus came, you know, we were passing by Bethany and so forth, and they saw this fig tree, which afar off looked like it had a fruit because it had leaves and it had the appearance that it had something going for it. You know, so if it had been completely dead and dried and withered away tree, Jesus would not even have, you know, bothered to come close to it. You know, but because it looked like it had something going, it had the appearance. Jesus said, look, in Revelation 3:2, he said, you have the appearance that you live, but you are dead. This thing had the appearance of something, but it was actually dead. So when Jesus came closer, he saw no fruit on it. And there is a commentary in the Bible that says, for the time of figs was not yet. You can read that in Mark 11, you know, and verse 13. He came thinking he would find fruit on it, because the thing looked like it had fruit. But he even came there, it had no fruit. You know. And he, you know, he actually said, in the defense of the tree, the writer of this gospel said, well, it was not yet time for figs. So it was not yet the season. Notice, it wasn't the season. Jesus didn't care about season when he got there. You know, season or no season, this thing better be producing fruit for the master. So when he got there, the thing is thinking, well, it's not season. It's not the time of figs yet. Jesus said, look, I came to you and you did not have fruit, so you are done. Nobody eat of you anymore. And you didn't care whether it was the season or not the season. This whole thing about, oh, it's your season, yeah, it's not your season. God uses that only because of his mercies, because we go in and out of his realm. So at a certain season, an angel will come and stir the pool. We understand that. But only for the mercy of God. You know, you can be with the Lord and not have to go in and out. The Bible says that with God, there is no variableness or shadow of turning. In the book of James, there's no variableness and there's no shadow of turning. What does that mean? Well, it means that God does not have seasons and he doesn't have mood swings up and down. One day, yeah, it's time to bless you. Another day, no, it's not yet your season. Well, as long as we keep believing that, then, you know, somebody can dangle something in front of you and say, yeah, you know, it's now time for you to get your season. And then when you believe that, and all of that is good as long as you are pointed to the Lord and there is no merchandising with that. It may truly be God is calling for a season of blessing for his people. And I believe that and I preach that all the time. You know, but when we do preach it, it's because God called for it. And there is no merchandising with it. You know, you just turn the hearts of the people to the Lord to believe God for whatever it is they are believing God for. But the moment you attach merchandising to it, then it becomes something that is false, it's low, and it is counterfeit. You know, and it is like evil men who are seducers, are deceiving and being deceived. They're waxing worse and worse. That's our text today, 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 13. So you got to be careful because there's all these things all around us. And nobody can blame somebody else because we all have the word of God. Isaiah chapter 8 and verse 20 tells you, gift of no gift. If they do not speak according to this word, always go back to the law and the testimony to check it out. And if they do not speak according to this word, it's because there's no light in them. Gift or no gift. You know, and people should never be afraid of any gift. Anything that makes you afraid like that is not even from God. God doesn't use the element of fear, you know, to try to get you to give him money or something like that. What does he need your money for? he just asks, he looks for your obedience and he looks for your worship. Actually, giving is a part of worship. You know, that's what Abraham did. That's what Jacob, all these people, when they brought their gifts, worship the Lord. The Lord said, look, you have wearied me with your sins. You have not even given me the little goat or the lamb and so forth. You're not worshiping me with your thing. You wearied me with your sins. You know, so, you know, he said, look, you can read that in Isaiah 41, perhaps around verse 21 or so. So it is time for us to get our minds straight and not to be led away with all these merchandising. Now, evil will always be out there. Offenses must needs come. Jesus said it himself. You know, but woe to the person by whom it comes. The birds must need fly over the, are on the sky, in the sky. Now, that's good. I can't prevent that. But most certainly, no bird's going to land on my head. You can fly over my head, but you are not landing on my head. You know, so it's our responsibility to make sure, you know, that even when evil men and seducers are out there, they are seducing and being seduced and being deceived. When they are out there, don't worry about it. They can do their thing, but stay away from it if you can. But I tell you what, don't fall for it. By all means, don't fall for that, because the Lord doesn't want us to do that. We need to have our senses exercised to discern good and evil. You can read that in Hebrews chapter 5. If you don't have your senses exercised and you don't know how to discern good and evil, then little things like this are going to take advantage of you. So, ladies and gentlemen, what are we saying? We are saying that there are evil people out there that come in wolves. I mean, they come in sheep's clothing. But inside, they are ravening wolves. And their goal is to make merchandise of God's people. And they know the religious lingo. And they know the things to say to get you in. You know, and that was a long time ago. Long time ago, I was a young man. I was in college and I went to a fellowship. You know, in the university where I was. And one man stood up, brought this big fat Bible, turned out to be like a Scofield Bible or something. I don't know what it was. I think it was, you know, some version of Scofield Bible. And he stood up to give a testimony. I was just a young man, just coming into the Lord then, you know. And so he gave a testimony of how, you know, I mean, he knew all the right lingo to say. He even said that he had been an armed robber and things like that. And now, you know, he's giving his life to Christ and he's going from fellowship to fellowship asking for an offering. That thing didn't sound right to me, but I was kind of wondering, but, what is this? Until somebody that had the gift of discernment. You know, I didn't at the time, but, you know, I was just trying to use my natural senses. But there was a brother that had the gift of discernment. And it turned out that, you know, this guy was all fake. It turned out that he had been going around various fellowships doing that, you know. And he knew the lingo. He knew what to say. You know, every time I remember that, even now, I still laugh. It was just funny, you know. But it wasn't funny when people were bringing out their money. You know, and he was making it look like, he had some. I mean, he wasn't even prophesying anything. He was just saying that, he's been turned around. And he used to live a bad life. And now he's been turned around. Now he's asking for help from the church. But his motives, we were all wrong. He wasn't even saved. He never gave his life to Christ. He just knew some words and some trickery to pray on people. There's a lot of people there out there today. You know, some people just as long as they can speak in tongues and dangle a few things, you know, they think that, you know, and everybody just falls for that. The devils speak in tongues. So don't be tongues. Yeah, let speaking tongues shock anybody. Now, God gives true speaking in tongues. The Holy Ghost, he gives inspiration. And people speak in tongues for real. You know, I speak in tongues a lot. So I'm not bashing that. But, you know, just because you speak in tongues doesn't mean anything. You know, so, you know, all these people, there is actually no depth at all. There's no doctrine. There's no depth. There is no pointing people back to Christ. There's none of that. It's just a bunch of stuff going on. And people get carried away by all this stuff. And it is just stuff, you know. But the Lord said, I will blow upon them and I will blow them away like chaff among the wheat. And now I need to sound this warning because the Lord said, my fan is in my hand and I will thoroughly purge my floor and let judgment begin at the house of God. You know, we've had enough of this nonsense, you know, so, but my heart goes out to God's people that are being made merchandise of. And I pray for those also who are doing it, that you know, they might repent and turn back to God. But if they don't repent, then they shall proceed no further because, you know, the hour is late. But even if they do proceed, it's everybody's responsibility to take heed how you hear. You know, let the Spirit of God who's talking to you, let your ear be open so that you hear what God is saying and warning, you know, to not follow their pernicious ways. Because of them, the way of truth is being evil spoken of. You know, there are some unbelievers today who the only thing they think about, they think that all of, you know, anything about church or Christ or things just about raising money, you know. That's what they think. Because the evil, the way of truth has been evil spoken of by these people. You know, so, and yeah, there are others also who will not go. I mean, there's this term they call honorarium. I've heard stories where people will not even go and preach anywhere until first, you know, they negotiate the so-called honorarium. You know, and I mean, it's good for us to support, you know, true ministries that are doing the work, because the Bible, you know, does say that, and that's, you know, there's a place for that. And we understand that. But for somebody to, first of all, I mean, that's the only thing they care about. They don't care about, you know, helping the people. They don't care about waiting on the Lord that their message will be of impact to change some stories and change some lives. The first thing they think about is the money they are going to get. And that's just golden calf. That is not even anything. But remember, Jesus said the kingdom of heaven is like a woman that took, you know, a measure of leaven and hid it in 3 measures of meal until it was all mixed up. And people think that that means a good thing. No, it's not a good thing. Leaven is never a good thing. It means you take a little poison, you can poison the whole food. You don't need a whole can of poison. And you don't need to show the person that this is a can of poison and you put it in front of them and you think they will eat it when it clearly says poison. No, they put the food out there. The food looks delicious. Now just put a little poison inside. So it's a little leaven that leavens the whole lump. It's not, you don't need a whole lot of leaven. You just need a little leaven. You need a little bit of thing that looks good, looks like it's the real thing. But it's never the real thing because there's never any truth in the devil. When he speaks something, he speaks of his own and there's no truth in him. You know, so it may be facts, but it's never truth. Because if it was truth, he would set the people free. But it's not truth. They may gather facts, but there is no spirit of truth behind it. And it's just it just looks enough like the real thing. And then just mix up a few other things in it, you know, and get all the people all tied up. So entangle yourself, the Bible says. Do not put your neck under the yoke of bondage. And don't entangle yourself with all these kinds of yoke. Loose thyself from the bands around your neck. Isaiah 52 and verse 2. Shake yourself from the dust. And don't be entangled in this nonsense. You know, and we need voices that will cry against all this evil that is going on, supposedly, in the name of the Lord. The name of the Lord has been put to disgrace, put to shame. You know, the Bible warned at the beginning, first commandment, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Well, this whole thing is taking the name of the Lord in vain. But people, we should not help to perpetrate or continue this nonsense. Detach yourself from this. Glory to God. Now, it's okay to give to, you know, it's okay to give to, you know, if you find a true cause, whether it's gospel, whether it's helping the poor, or whatever you want to do. Whatever the Lord leads you, as many as are led by the children of God, by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Romans 8 and 14. The Lord leads you to give, by all means do that. We're not knocking that. But most certainly, should not be for the sale of a word, or the purchasing of a word, or the purchasing of a healing. If you have to drop a seed in order to get a prophetic word, you already know that's merchandising. So, you know, let the scales fall off of the eyes of God's people, and let them not continue that nonsense. You know, so there's a lot of people out there that's doing this stuff. They're getting bolder. That's our text today, 2 Timothy 3 and 13. Evil men are getting worse, waxing worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived, you know. So, now, they may call themselves by any names that they want, and that's okay. They may call themselves prophet or even apostle or whatever, and that's great. And, you know, if they're a prophet, then let them speak the word of the Lord. You know, a real prophet will bring the word of God. They will bring the word of the Lord. They will bring correction. They will bring admonition. They will bring doctrine. They will point the people back to Christ. When people go astray, a real prophet, that's their job. They will call for repentance. They will call for, you know, they will be like a revivalist. What they do is come out there and get the hearts of people back to God when their hearts are turned away. You know, they will not be out there, you know, speaking and making merchandise of the people, or trying, you know, to make a name for themselves. You know, people can make a name for themselves all they want, and that's okay. And Jesus said, look, in Matthew 7 and 21, finally, you know, say, these people will come and say, well, didn't we do all kinds of miracles and stuff in your name? And Jesus said, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. I never, you know, he didn't even say, I don't know you. You know, I never knew you. Wow. So, where does that leave us today? The Lord also says that, look, my sheep will hear my voice. I keep hammering on that. They will hear my voice, and they will follow me. And they will not hear the voice of strangers, but they will flee from him. Well, but I don't see people fleeing. I see people being drawn. It's like a web. It's pulling people in. But you ought to flee from strangers, because they have strange fire. You know, it's strange fire in those camps. Strange fire. Doesn't even glorify the Lord. But here's a warning. He said, if a prophet be deceived when he has spoken a thing, well, I, the Lord, that, you know, I'm the one that deceived him, the Lord said, and I will also destroy him. Wow. You can read that in Ezekiel chapter 14 and verse 9.
that's some serious warnings. You know, a prophet that is deceived when he has spoken a thing. I, the Lord, have deceived that prophet. And I will stretch out my hand upon him, and I will destroy him from the midst of my people. So that's a warning. You know, so don't be afraid of any false prophets. But don't follow their pernicious ways. Separate yourself. And, you know, show yourself that you know the word. You know, the word of God, always go back to it and check it out. Gift or no gift, what are they doing with that gift? And there are some true prophets out here on this app or out there in the world that are encouraging the people to follow the Lord, you know, and to get away from religious systems that are binding them over to the way, the broad way that is leading to destruction. There's some true prophets out there that are calling people to recognize that the coming of the Lord is at hand. And there's also true prophets that are bringing encouragement to the people when they are down. It's not everyone that speaks these kind of words that are fake. You just need to know where their motives are. So blow the trumpet in Zion. Sound an alarm on my holy mountain. Well, we're blowing the trumpet now. We're sounding the alarm, but the trumpet must have a clear sound. If the trumpet doesn't give a clear sound, how are people going to know what is piped? If you give a muddled sound, I mean, if we're not clear, that's why I'm using great plainness of speech. You know, I'm calling it out like it is. So, you know, making it very plain. And we're laying the axe to the boot, to the bottom of every tree. The axe is laid to the root of the trees. And every tree that my Father has not planted in Matthew 15 and 13 shall be cut down. Glory to God. So it is time for the Lord to begin this pruning work. And he said, let judgment begin at my house. You know, spare not. Neither let your eye pity. When the Lord, you know, begins to move, we just pray that people will repent quickly. Quickly. But for the people of God that are being made merchandise of, awake, you know, and come out of slumber. And don't let people pull wool over your eyes. Have your eyes wide open. Hear from the Lord yourself. Glory to God. Some people are even waiting for somebody to come and tell them what to do in their lives. What kind of thing is that? In the New Testament, when you have the Spirit of God? If you don't have the Spirit of God, you got to go to God. Now, God can send confirmation. But confirmation it will be. You must hear from God yourself. I will be your God and you'll be my children. I'll be a father unto you. What father does not speak to his child? He must speak directly to you. You need to know and hear from God yourself. And when you do, glory to God, then you have the ability to know his voice because you are used to hearing his voice. You had the ability to know his voice as being distinct from the voice of a stranger because you don't know that voice of stranger. But if you don't know his voice, the voice of a stranger may sound like his voice. And then you end up following the voice of a stranger. And the end of that is no good. So we need real and true revival. And this true gospel must be preached in all the world for a witness. Matthew 4, 24 and 14. The gospel of the kingdom must be preached. And the last 3 days or so, we did, you know, some series on the kingdom. What it's all about. Must preach that gospel of the kingdom, not the gospel of chasing after something else. You know, not a gospel of prosperity either that people are preaching today. God wants his people to prosper, and he will prosper you. But God was, first of all, number one, be your chief joy. Glory to God. So, ladies and gentlemen, I leave it there today. You know, you heard the word. You know, now it's your turn to do something with it. It's also your turn to propagate the word. And, you know, and some of the other things that people don't know how to do, they don't know how to say no. The children of God, they don't know how to say no. They're so gullible like that, unfortunately. You know, they don't know how to say no or when to say no. But Jesus told this parable in Matthew 25. We call it the parable of the foolish and wise virgins. But there is a severe and strong lesson there in the fact that, you know, the wise virgins, people thought that they were wise because they took extra oil, and that the foolish virgins were foolish because they didn't take extra oil. No, that's what tradition taught us. But tradition is faulty. They were foolish. That's why they did not take extra oil. It wasn't their not taking extra oil that made them foolish. They were already foolish. They couldn't think ahead. They didn't have prudence. And the wise were already wise. They knew, you know, that, you know, the journey might take long, you know, maybe a long time. So they were already wise and they were well prepared. But the key thing that I want to bring out in that story is that the wise, they knew how to say no. And as Jesus told that story himself, so people don't know how to say no. These wise virgins, they knew how to say no. Go get it for yourself. Now today, if you did that, they would say you have no love. You know, you have no love. But Jesus told this story himself. These people said no. But there's a time to say no, and there's a time to say yes. And if you don't know how to say no, because you don't have the, you know, the capacity for sound judgment, then people will make merchandise of you. And there are people that try to make merchandise of people all the time, because people don't even know how to say no. But these wise ones, they knew how to say no. They said, no, we don't have enough for ourselves and for you. So you go buy for yourself. So, ladies and gentlemen, you got to learn to say no sometimes. You know, there are times when you say yes, and there are times when you say no. And there are many times when people should have said no, they didn't. And then there's a lot of regret later on. Even when family and people like that, those of us that live abroad, you know, family and everybody from overseas, they're always trying to siphon you dry. You know, just because you live abroad. It's got to be times when you got to say no. You know. And if you don't know how to say no, you're going to have some challenges. You know, the young lady story that didn't know how to say no, you know, she was duped into spending all her money on what she thought was the pursuit of some miracle. And then after that, she couldn't pay her rent. You know, and that was so sad. That was so sad. So let's use wisdom. Let's use sound judgment. You know, and even some people, my wife and I conduct this marriage ministry platform. We'll have another one later on this afternoon. Some people don't know how to say no. Somebody dangles something in front of them, they think that's it. You know, and they fall for it. The Holy Ghost, meanwhile, checking them inside their stomach. There's this thing, gut check, people call it that. It's really the Holy Ghost that brings that red, big flag. But they don't listen. You know, and then they follow on. And then there's disaster afterwards. And then they end up with, you know, problems. And I often tell people, look, if you don't know how to use sound judgment, you don't know how to use discretion, you don't know how to make a sound decision with all your senses exercised, you're going to make a big mistake. when you're trying to make a big decision like who to marry, for those who are single, we deal with a lot of singles, you know, and when you make that big mistake, you end up, instead of having, if you marry the right person, you have a prayer partner. You make that kind of mistake, you have a prayer point all your life. And then regret sets in. So you got to know when to say yes. You got to know when to say no. There's deceivers also in that arena. You know, there's deceivers everywhere. Deceivers of, you know, men trying to deceive women and so forth. There's deceivers in all arenas. So we've laid it out there. I cannot cover everything on account of time. I'm going to leave it there for now. But let him that hath an ear hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. What is the Spirit saying to the churches? Beware lest no man deceive you, and let no man take thy crown. Open your eyes wide. Don't follow any blind leaders so you don't both fall into the ditch. Let them fall into the ditch by themselves. If they want to fall into the ditch, that's their own problem. Don't fall in the ditch with them. Have your eyes open. You know, and learn from the Holy Spirit how to hear his voice yourself. You know, so nobody will be dangling anything in front of you. People dangle this word. Oh, they've heard from God. So they have a word for you to dangle that and you fall for that. Hear from God yourself. Hallelujah. My sheep hear my voice. If you are his sheep, you got to hear his voice. That's one of the qualifications. You got to hear his voice yourself. Praise God. Now, does God speak through prophet? Absolutely. You know, but first and foremost, he speaks to you as an individual. And you are not responsible for what somebody else comes to say. You know, you need to hear from God yourself. Hallelujah. So if we don't learn to do that, we will be looking for a word here and there, here and there, here and there all the time. And people become easy victims when we are in that posture. So ladies and gentlemen, that's our lesson for today. Acknowledge everyone that's in the room.